Chapter 5. General Precepts and Advice. The full scope of implications of Stoic philosophy, as well as the techniques available to us to achieve inner harmony and well-being, are massive, far beyond the reach of a book this size. The earliest complete writings we have, including those of Seneca, Epictetus, and Marcus Aurelius, are volumes long, and later, more modern thinkers have added their own wisdom and have interpreted and opined on the Stoic lifestyle as well. This chapter will make an effort to summarize some further general principles according to which we can model our lives to reflect the Stoic way. Some of them have already been touched upon, but will be discussed again along with some further implications that they hold. Everything comes from within. This is the central core principle around which Stoicism is built, so it really cannot be repeated enough. It pervades every other teaching and colors the Stoics' view on every aspect of life. We've already seen how this means that we are ultimately responsible for our own mental state, but it has further implications for the way we think about ourselves and how we interact with the outside world around us. We are the ones who can shape our character and can lay a foundation of how we present ourselves, upon which the perception of others can be built. If we wish to be seen a certain way, it should be sufficient for us to appear that way to ourselves. We must hold ourselves according to our own personal principles and laws and live according to our aspirations. Character is an impossible thing to fake. How we are when we are alone is the same way as we will be when we are with others, so we should aim to avoid any duplicity to others or ourselves and act as we would regardless of who is around. We should hold our integrity and self-respect in highest esteem and never act in a way that would violate that. Our actions are our own, and we should always act in a way that is harmonious with our beliefs. It is inevitable that doing so will often sometimes bring us into conflict with others. Regardless of what is said or thought of us, we should always act in a way that we believe is right and in accordance to our beliefs. Since it is impossible to exert full control over the thoughts and opinions of others, we should not trouble ourselves if our actions bring us ridicule or we encounter people who are hostile or abrasive to us. As long as we have acted according to our conscience, we should not be concerned by this. If it is our actions that are the cause of this resistance, but if our actions are pure and according to our standards, then we have no reason to be perturbed. Persistence and sticking to principle has a habit of breeding admiration. Since the mind is the seat of the self, it is the only thing we can exert full control over. It is prudent to exert that control to the full and to feed and nurture the mind. The Stoic seeks wisdom wherever it may be found, and works to apply it, to internalize it, as well as building its resilience and fortitude by employing the techniques presented in the previous two chapters. It is important to exercise it by seeking to build its store of information to sharpen it through discourse and dialogue. Relationships to externalities. To the things that are to varying degrees outside our control, we should give an appropriate amount of attention. Everything that happens has two aspects by which we can interact with it, one by which it can be handled, and one by which it cannot. Invariably, the side by which it can be handled relates it to our internal mind and brings it into a realm we can control, our inner response to it. It remains completely up to us to discern this angle and react accordingly. It is never advisable to place great importance in anything we have that is external to our will. Loss is inevitable. And if we put our possessions and circumstances on a pedestal, we open ourselves up to negativity when they are altered or taken from us. The attitude to have when faced by loss is to remember that whatever we have lost was never really ours. Therefore, we have not lost, but whatever it is has been restored, given back up to the rest of the universe. Further from this, we should not take pride in the attributes of anything that is not directly our own, in the sense of having direct control over it. Having a nice car, a beautiful house, or an attractive partner does not mean that we possess those attributes ourselves. This also does extend to our own physical and social attributes. We should not be proud if we are good-looking, eloquent, or athletic. Even those aspects are outside our direct control and vulnerable to loss. If, then, we do lose any of these possessions or attributes, our personal worth is in no way diminished. We should not demand for things to happen according to our wishes, but should wish for things to happen as they do. This way, we eliminate a great source of strife and enable ourselves to live in sync with the world around us. Epictetus uses an analogy of looking at life as being like a Roman-style banquet. Dishes were passed around at random, and there was no guarantee of getting something particular at any time. If a dish is brought to you, take of it. If something passes you by, let it pass. Never aim to hoard or keep the platter for yourself. It may have begun to seem like Stoicism advises complete passivity, or that we should never ever build goals or have aims we wish to achieve. The truth is quite contrary, in fact. What these techniques give us is the ability to discern which goals are important and worth chasing, and give us the resilience necessary to overcome setbacks and the fortitude to persevere when from the outside things seem to be failing to go our way. Marcus Aurelius counsels us not to think that what is difficult is impossible, but rather to consider everything that is possible to be within our reach. We should, however, weigh the importance of everything and always consider everything that is necessary for something to be achieved. The actions we must take and the sacrifices we must make, as well as the aftermath and the consequences of achieving it. If your goal is to be an actor, always bear in mind the things you will have to do to achieve that. You will have to take acting classes, spend hours rehearsing and perfecting your craft, and perhaps have to deal with people who are very opinionated and difficult to work with. You will have to be able to take criticism, some of which may not be kindly delivered. Luckily, thanks to your stoical mindset, you are doubly equipped to deal with this, and apply it accordingly. You should also be prepared for the life you will have to live should you land in the statistical majority of people who have chosen your path. Constantly searching for work and taking jobs that might not be the pinnacle of your dreams, such as being an extra or working commercials and bit jobs, as well as the financial instability that comes with it. You should also be prepared to live with the consequences should you achieve the highest level of your chosen profession, never being able to find a private moment when in public, thanks to constantly being recognized by strangers, as well as the difficulty of finding true and sincere friends when you are wealthy and famous. This goes for any possible path. Entering politics, becoming a musician, a research scientist, or an entrepreneur. If the consequences of both the average and best, and indeed worst-case scenarios, are worth following your dream, then by all means, go for it. It is not the man who has little, but the one who always wants more who is poor. And it is far better to die of hunger while happy than be rich and filled with unhappiness and anxiety. Do not always aim to be busy, because that is not necessarily being productive, but is often the sign of a haunted mind. And always remember, if you enter no fight that is beyond your ability to win, you will never be defeated. Relationships with other people. The social aspect of humanity is an integral part of our nature, and therefore Stoics hold our interactions with other human beings to be an important part of life. Living in peace and accord with others is essential, and we recognize others as having the same ultimate goal as we do: to live a life filled with harmony and well-being. Their minds are the farthest sphere from our control. Therefore, we should not even dedicate a single bit of our energy to trying. We cannot know the motivations that others have behind their actions. Therefore, we cannot let those alone dictate how we in turn act towards them. If someone behaves unfairly or injuriously to us, we should not act with the same in turn, but with justice in accordance to our own conscience. It is impossible for them to hurt us unless we allow them to. We should not judge the actions of others to us as good or bad, but simply as they are. If someone steps on your toes, they have not done you evil. They have simply stepped on your toes. Simply move on with your life without letting it consume you. With regards to the company we keep, we should aim to maintain relationships with people who will build and nurture us, and avoid those who are a negative influence. The building and nurturing can take an intellectual form. We should seek the company of people from whom we can learn and with whom we can converse on weighty, complex issues. To quote a popular truism, if you're the smartest person in a room, then you're in the wrong room. Always aim to congregate with people from whom you can get a better picture of how the world works. The nurturing can also be emotional and psychological. Aim to be around people who will lift your spirits and inspire you to be the best that you can be. Conversely, people who add nothing to your knowledge except for useless trivialities, and those who will bring you down or cause you to abandon your morals, should be avoided. Of course, if one is truly living by Stoic principles, they will be unperturbed by any negative influence negative people may try to exert. But what use would a Stoic have for such people in the first place? We are the average of the company we keep, whether that is because that company has shaped us after itself, or we have found ourselves drawn to that company. We should find reason to worry if we find ourselves keeping the company of disreputable people. This is not a call to culture smugness in oneself. In fact, Epictetus warns heavily against smugness or fostering a feeling of superiority to those around us. It is impossible to achieve perfection. To believe that one has is to stop to try to become better. We are called to recognize this and to always continue working on ourselves. Mortality. We have no control over the time on which death will take us. We can take as many preventative measures as we can that will reduce our likelihood of dying in certain ways, but certain causes of mortality will always be beyond our power to turn away. This does not mean that we have cause to be anxious. It simply means that death is just another thing we should not overly concern ourselves about. The only thing that is within our reach is how we live our lives, and it is up to us to live in a way that is consistent with our principles. Death is nothing to be afraid of. It is our notion and idea of death that causes fear. Death is simply nothingness, and according to Seneca, nothingness can neither be good or evil. When we lose those closest to us, we must remember that they did not belong to us in the first place. We therefore should not mourn as if the world is ending. Ours moves on, as does that of everyone else who still lives. While we live, we have the obligation to ourselves to live our lives to their best and in harmony with our principles. That way, when the end comes, should it come in a manner that allows us to know that it is coming, we will have no disappointment and no regret.